This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, rolling along on a Wednesday. Think you're going to enjoy another show today. We even get a little football talk in there. We're going to talk U.S. Open. We're going to talk College World Series. We're going to talk Husker baseball. We'll get a little football in there. And, of course, the NBA playoffs wrapped up last night as well. Our guest list today includes, from Golf Digest, Alex Myers out at Chambers Bay. He'll be coming up in about 10 minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk about the U.S. Open. This sounds like a course that 10 years ago would have been a Tiger Woods right to his liking. Now, does that mean it's a Rory McIlroy course? It's easy to go with the number one guy, but I'm thinking this morning, Randy, you got to be able to hit it long, and you got to be able to putt. The thing with Rory is, and I'll bring this up with Alex, is when he's there on the weekend, he wins.
But you got to be there first.
But he can be gone. He is kind of unlike a lot of the top players recently. Of course, it's Tiger, so he was always there. But Phil seems like he's always there. A handful of those guys, always there. But Rory, it doesn't seem like he ever is going to get 20th. He's either going to be first or second, or he's going to be teeing off first or not making the cut.
What I also think is interesting about this course, well, there's a lot of things interesting about this course, but it's really more like a British Open course than it is a U.S. Open course, but yet it's going to be very high when you go out of bounds, like they always have with the high grass, but it's an all fescue course, and it has been dry up in Washington this year, so it's hard. I mean, it you can blow up real fast on that course. You get in trouble, that ball's going to run and run and run and run and run
fast on any.
Well, you know, I can. I mean, I can. But the good guys generally. I just think the margin of error is so small that it makes it pretty much open for anybody. I think it levels the playing field a little bit.
On a totally different note, we'll talk with Alex. We're also going to talk with Curtis Ledbetter at the end of the program, Nebraska assistant baseball coach. They've got their Husker Big Red camps coming to Kearney and a couple of things to talk about there. But we'll also talk about the Huskers and kind of some cool news came out late yesterday. Tony Gwynn was the first one-year anniversary of his passing, so that's not the cool news. But what they're doing is having the Tony Gwynn Classic, eight college baseball teams playing at the end of February. It'll be the 26th through the 28th. Book your tickets now, Herbert family, and whoever else follows the Huskers on a daily basis, and get out there to San Diego, because Nebraska, along with San Diego, San Diego State, Nevada, Kentucky, Santa Barbara, a couple of others, will be playing next year. So we'll get to talk with Curtis about that. And then also George Richards from the Miami Herald is going to join us from the College World Series. The Hurricanes in Florida play tonight, a rematch of the opening round. Plus, if you didn't know, the Huskers go down there to play some football. And yesterday, we got a little lucky because when the College World Series got over a little early for the 5 o'clock game, we were able to catch some of Hail Varsity yesterday, and Chris Schmidt had an interview with Phil Steele, number one when it comes to college football prognostications. Yep. He said yesterday he believes Miami will be one of the most improved teams or up-and-comers because they were okay last year, but he likes him as one of those to take a big leap.
Well, they were really young last year.
And I find that, but a lot of people don't seem to buy into that. I do a little bit, so I want to see what George has to say.
Well, and again, it's probably a little bit of our generation. I mean, I find it harder to believe that Miami's not good in football than the fact that they'll be better next year. You know, I mean, they were always so good for such a long period of time. It just seems to me that they are that sleeping giant, and they can get back right where they were, and they were so young last year, and I thought there was a lot of talent on the field a year ago. I really see them as that sleeping giant. So I'm with you. I think they'll be much improved next year, and Miami might be able to prime the pump and be back. It might be hard to recreate all of what they did during their run, but I think they can kind of get their program back to similar levels.
A couple of observations from the NBA playoffs, and we'd love to hear from you on any of our topics or any questions for any of our guests, whether it's baseball for the Huskers, College World Series, U.S. Open, anything with the NBA or other things that we haven't even thrown out here. We've got the 8-man. We're going to be at the 8-man All-Star Camp tomorrow, talking with the coaches and a couple of area players. Also, the state's high school rodeo gets underway in Hastings tomorrow, and then Friday we'll be out at the Tasha Kider golf tournament, the Memorial Golf Tournament at Kearney Country Club, $1 million hole in one, and we'll talk about all of that. But 888-455-ESPN, the number to the show. We've got Anavar tickets to give away today, too. They got the tractor pull going on this Father's Day weekend, so we'll give you a chance to win tickets to either Friday night or Saturday afternoon session. 888-455-ESPN. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, and of course, always email the Net Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Another competitive game last night. I was a little worried when it was 28-15, Golden State at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
It's not obviously what Cleveland wanted. All the analysts saying when they get out, they usually are there and have a better chance to win. They were close to holding Golden State under 100, which they did in their two victories. Had they been there with them, if they had won last night, it would have been
a better first quarter, then it'd be an entirely different game.
So the second half, but again, you get first and third is totally Golden State. Second is Cleveland. The fourth, Cleveland is continuing to try to come back. They missed a lot of shots. I never saw them or heard them post how many threes they missed in a row there from about the 6-minute mark to the 2-minute mark. It seemed like 10. LeBron missed a lot of shots. He took a lot of shots, which is fine, but he missed a lot of shots. And the deal is, Randy, I mean, they were a 3 away from making it a 1-possession game.
Yeah.
All those that they missed with about 4 minutes to go, we could have been looking at game 7, but it's just too hard with one guy trying to bring everybody back when you're down double digits.
Which is, to me, why they gave the MVP to the wrong player. I honestly know LeBron's team lost, but I think LeBron James, without LeBron James, that is not even an interesting series. Game 6 was somewhat interesting. There were 2 wins by Cleveland. Both of those you can give straight to LeBron. And the other game, in the very first game that goes to overtime, there's only one reason why he's in that. So there were 6 games, and there was only one reason why 3 of those were as competitive or won by Cleveland the way they were, and that was LeBron James. And again, Spagnuolo? I mean, it didn't seem... Iguodala. It just... That's your guy? I honestly think that LeBron James should have been the MVP.
Talking about it all week. I mean, they just... Somebody plants the seed. It's like years ago when you planted the Charles Woodson seed to win the Heisman over Peyton Manning. Somebody plants the seed and then hammers it, or puts the nail in and hammers it, or waters it.
Then simply, if LeBron James didn't deserve the MVP this year, then just simply make a rule that it has to be a member of the winning team. Just be done with it.
Here's what I was a little shocked by when I saw this morning. You know how many people vote for the NBA MVP?
I saw it. 11.
There's like 62 rows of media people there. 11. Now, I get it a little bit.
No, I don't.
But I don't know what makes those 11 more special than the other 50 people there.
I agree.
And you don't have anybody from Cleveland or Golden State, so there's no bias there. But
and
it was 7-4.
Yeah.
Iguodala got 7. I mean, there's no vote the top 3. It's one guy. Iguodala got 7. James got 4. Nobody else. Steph Curry didn't get one?
Yeah.
Steph Curry didn't get one?
Yeah.
That tells you right there, Randy, I'm telling you right now, that tells you it's rigged because the 7 guys that voted for Iguodala all got together or somebody said,
yeah, but we're not splitting it up.
Curry. Curry.
Yeah, we're not
because
cutting
we
it up.
Can't have four for Iguodala, three for Curry, and then the LeBron James camp wins. That's all that was, and it's too bad.
Yeah, and that's why you need to expand it. Yeah.
5 years, 10 years from now, you're going to go, who?
Who? Is that was the Steph Curry LeBron year and it was Iguodala? Really? Yeah, it shakes your head. And it's not a huge deal because you know you go back 2-3 Super Bowls. I'm a big football guy. Can I really honestly tell you all the guys that won the MVP? No, there's some guys in there that shake your head a little bit. But just say that a losing team can't be the MVP. Just say it. Be done with it. Just put it out there. Be done.
Let's vote on our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer in Kulik's Topics. Do you agree with the selection of Andre Iguodala as the NBA Finals MVP? We both say no. Do you say yes, it's right? It should have been Steph Curry or it should have been LeBron James. Vote on our Midtown Mart cooler question now at ESPNSuperstation.com and stop by Midtown Mart of Hastings anytime you need a fill-up. Yesterday we asked you about the Chicago Blackhawks winning their third Stanley Cup since 2010. Which organization with three titles has been the best in recent years here? 50% went Spurs. I'm surprised. That's who I thought. 40% went Patriots. 10% went Giants. Nobody else receiving any votes. We're going to take a break.
And I would have voted for the Blackhawks. Because I think it's harder in the because your superstars you can have in the NBA you can have three or four superstars roll everything in hockey that's one of your three lines. That is, if you're shortening up your lines, you have to be a lot deeper.
Then by your argument, you have to take the New England Patriots, 53, not 24.
The difference there would be who really handles the ball, who really makes the crux of the team go. Most offensive defensive lines are going to be kind of a wash. I understand what you're saying.
This could be a 30-minute argument.
It really could be.
I don't have time to.
And I'm a huge. Don't get me. I kind of understand the game of football a little bit. I mean, I've seen it. You know, I've seen it. I know what's going on there. But I really think that it's harder in the NHL to build that dynasty than it is in the NFL or the NBA.
Randy votes Blackhawks. You vote now on our Midtown Mart cooler question. We'll be back with Alex Myers from the U.S. Open out in Washington after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
The 22nd Annual Ravenna Tractor Pull will be pulling two nights, June 19th starting at 7 p.m. and the 20th starting at 5, all at Anavar Park, featuring the Grand National Outlaw Class, NETPA, Light Superstock, Super Farm Stock, Pro Stock, Diesel Superstock, two-wheel and four-wheel drive modified limited Pro Stock, and Super Unlimited. Get in on the dirt-flinging, engine-roaring, smoking, tractor-pulling action. See you at Anavar Park this Friday and Saturday. Brought to you by RAI of Nebraska, Ravenna Sanitation, Flashbacks in Ravenna, and Town & Country Bank, member FDIC.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on 1st, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Cloudy skies today, showers and thunderstorms, high temperatures near 82. Tonight, chance for thunderstorms as we head to a low of 63. More thunderstorms possible Thursday, 84. Right now, 73.
Is this Zydeco? Is this Zydeco? Is that what we're listening to? A little Zydeco?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe we'd have some grunge music leading into the U.S. Open.
Just because it's in Washington?
Yeah.
Seattle?
Yeah. A little grunge.
Is that music?
There's a few grunge songs I kind of like.
That's a little Tin Cup. That's a little Tin Cup. Golf music is what Caleb was going for there.
Oh, yeah, that's good. All right. Now that there's a connection. I like it.
We'll have to introduce him to Caddyshack.
We've had a little fun music
with Tin Cup. Caddyshack's out there. I don't know that
Happy Gilmore. I can't remember the soundtrack.
Pants, yeah. Although I'm sure there was some Happy Gilmore. Well, Kansas, Dust in the Wind wasn't that in there? Or what? What was the? They played the piano song.
Yeah.
At the very end.
Yeah.
There's a couple in there.
There's something.
There's a couple in there. Movies that are like no other, just like TNL is like no other pivot irrigation system that you've ever had. Hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems are continuing to grow. Superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of TNL's hydraulic design. A few of the reasons why you should have a TNL irrigation system in your field. And don't forget, if you've already got a TNL, add to your stable of comfort and profitability with TNL's new GPS navigation corner system. It's like no other. Contact your local TNL dealer today, like Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney, or go to TLIRR.com. TNL, hydrostatically powered pivots like no other. They might have to roll a few of these out of the golf course at Chambers Bay as much as you're hearing about the firmness of this course. And I think, Randy, what's going to make this very unique, as some of the players have been talking about, is that nobody knows what's going to happen. This isn't one of those traditional courses where you kind of know what score you need to shoot. It does put another factor out there for the golfers, and to tell us all about it, from Golf Digest, we welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, Alex Myers. Alex, good morning. How are you? Thanks for the time.
Hey, no problem. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing good, and I guess to kind of lead the direction, I can read all the articles online and that you've put up from Golf Digest and some of the fun stuff in the draft, but give me your take on this golf course.
Well, you know, like I just heard you saying, this is certainly a different course than we're used to seeing at the U.S. Open. It is unlike anything the USGA has ever played a tournament in other than the 2010 U.S. Amateur, which was contested here. You know, it's probably the true test in the U.S. The ground is firm. There are no trees in play. There's only one tree on the entire property. There's really high fescue, but there's also wide landing areas off the tee, which is also atypical of a U.S. Open, which we're used to, you know, the tight fairways and the high rough. So it's certainly still going to be just as difficult as a typical U.S. Open. It's just not going to play like a typical one.
Alex, how's that being received by the players themselves? I think they're kind of, obviously they want it slower, easier to play, all that, but does it seem out of character to the U.S. Open? Do they kind of feel like maybe it doesn't fit the way a U.S. Open should be played, or is it just a general complaint because they want an easy course?
Yeah, I think it's more of the latter. You know, you're always rumbling. I think the course is maybe set up unfairly, and we'll have to see what Jay does, because Chambers Bay doesn't have as fast of green speed as we're used to seeing, but some more slope than other greens. So putting pins in different positions could lead to, you know, some disastrous situations where you have guys going off the green and back across and so forth. So I think the general consensus is we're kind of gritting their teeth for a test. And I think the ones who know that, you know, the chance of winning are going to keep those complaints to themselves and try to bear through it and do the best you can, because it led on that this course is getting to you, and I think the course has gotten to your head, and I think that's what Mike Davis and the USGA is trying to do.
We're talking with Alex Myers of Golf Digest, Chambers Bay, as the U.S. Open tees off tomorrow. that is another interesting thing that the players have been saying, that they don't know what Mike Davis is going to do. He could come out and tell them, but if the weather switches, then he doesn't want to be, you know, pigeonholed with that. But you have to kind of get the sense, I'm guessing, Alex, that a couple of these holes that can play five or four par or can play long or short par three, it's got to be, you know, one day, one way, Thursday, one day, Friday, and then the same thing Saturday and Sunday. Isn't that the feel?
Yeah, exactly. These players aren't really going to know exactly what faces them until they get out there on the first tee that day. You know, Mike Davis has always been one, a big proponent of having a lot of on a golf course. Of course, a few years ago at Olympic Club, when Jim Furyk got to the 16th tee on the final day, and they'd moved the tee all the way up on that par four, and it kind of threw off the tree. So Mike Davis has even more options like that in his, you know, in tens this week. And, you know, as I mentioned, the first hole in the 18th hole, and the switch playing a four and a five some days. The course could be stretched out to the longest ever, but it also could be stretched out to a relative course, about 7,200 yards, short for these guys, obviously. And on each tee, there are these ribbon tees that stretch all the way from the main tee box that give the USA options to put the tees in a wide variety of angles and also distances. And the ninth hole is going to be crazy. There's two totally different tee boxes for that part three, the downhill part three. And so, you know, there's definitely face different looks every day. And again, it's part of the test Mike Davis and the USG wants them to have to face.
Hey, Alex, we're having a little trouble with your cell reception. Oh. I don't know where you're at. If you could walk closer to a window while I ask the question, I would appreciate it. Well, let's talk a little bit about the players themselves. I obviously, people look at Rory being the number one player in the world. This probably fits his playing style fairly well. Jordan Spieth has been so hot lately that I think people are looking at that. Is there a sense of the people that are covering this event of who they kind of like, or is it really pick a name out of the hat out of the top 20, 25 players in the country and in the world?
Yeah, no, I think because there's so much unfamiliarity, the trend is to kind of pick the guys you know. And certainly you mentioned a couple there, you know, Rory and Jordan Spieth. They're the top two players in the world for a reason. Spieth has an incredible, you know, ability to grind, get up and down. That kind of fits a U.S. Open mentality. Of course, he also has a caddy who worked at Chambers Bay for years and was even married on the property. So he has a lot more local knowledge than most of these other guys. And then, you know, Phil Mickelson, of course, is always a sentimental choice of the U.S. Open with his six runner-ups. He's actually playing a lot better of late, and he's been runner-up in the last two majors. And this course really demands for a creative short game, and it's pretty generous to the tee. So I think it does set up well for Phil Mickelson, and you're seeing a lot of people picking him this week.
Another couple minutes here with Alex Myers of Golf Digest, gracious enough to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. So the myth, and this is also on golfdigest.com today, Mickelson saying that there's probably only three holes he'll hit driver on. The myth that you need to be a bomber, I said, it looks like, of course, it sets up for a long hitter that can putt. What kind of a style are we looking at here then if it's not going to be a bomber?
Yeah, you know, it's tough to ever really listen to Phil and believe him word for word, because he could totally switch to that game plan come tomorrow, especially with the tees or the wind direction or what have you. You know, it's an interesting course because it is so firm. It does bring a lot of the shorter hitters into play. As we saw at the 2010 USAM, you know, Peter Uihlein won. He's a long hitter, but he beat David Chung in the final, and David Chung is a short hitter. So it kind of gives both sides opportunities. Now, if Phil wants to only hit three drivers off the tee, that's fine. But you know Rory McIlroy is going to play aggressively. And if you do play aggressively with the driver, you could really turn this into a pitch and putt on some of these holes. So, again, it's always that, you know, you don't have to hit driver, but if you do hit driver and you hit it well, it's still very advantageous.
Here in Nebraska, we're kind of in a kind of a hole in terms of PGA events. We don't get them here very often, but U.S. Senior Open came here a few years ago, was a phenomenal success in Omaha. This is the first time the Open Championship has been played out in the Pacific Northwest ever. So how is it being received by the community? How is the golf environment there in terms of fans?
Well, like you mentioned, I mean, when you have an opportunity, a rare opportunity like this, you're going to seize it, and certainly that seems to be the case this week. You know, fans are really into it. I think they're, you know, they've been excited about this for years. Not only is it a local, you know, the first time going out to the Northwest, but the Pacific Northwest, but it's also on a public course. So this is a course that a lot of people in the area have played, have gotten to grow and love throughout the years. Of course, when it was built, it was given the U.S. Open very shortly after. It was, I think, the quickest to ever receive the nomination. So people out there have been really excited about this for a while, sort of like when the U.S. Open came to Bethpage for the first time in 2002, and people in New York were extra excited because, you know, this is a course that they really know and love. So it just adds an extra element to it.
And Alex, speaking of first time, most of us will just have to watch it on TV. This will be the first time that Fox has stepped up and covered a golf, major golf event. Mm-hmm. We've seen some of the pregame this week. Is there much talk about that?
Oh, yeah, I think there is. And it's funny because this will probably be the only time that you ever, you know, that the network that's broadcasting is almost as in as much spotlight as some of the players. And, you know, it's a couple big names that we know. You know, Greg Norman, of course, was the number one player in the world for many, many weeks back in the day, won a couple majors, of course, lost a few majors, as you know. And then Joe Buck is, you know, maybe the biggest announcer in sports today, you know, doing Super Bowls and World Series games. So it's going to be interesting to hear those guys, see how Fox covers it. You know, covering golf is really difficult. I went behind the scenes with the NBC guys at the Players, and people do not know how much is involved. So for them to have their first tournament be a major, you know, or first real tournament, I know they did a little of the four ball, but this is a big test for them. And certainly I think the viewers hope that it goes pretty smoothly because we're used to having such great broadcasts during this national championship.
Last minute with Alex Myers. Couple quick questions. We'll let you go, Alex. Let's ask the obligatory Tiger Woods question. I won't even ask a question. I'll just say Tiger Woods.
Well, I just saw he's slightly favored to miss the cut. And just to think how far he's fallen and to think that he, as you mentioned, this is just kind of the obligatory Tiger Woods question at the end of the interview, that he's not even leading the topic. He's almost an afterthought at this point, and it's just kind of sad. I think he will make the cut, but I'm certainly would be stunned if he contends.
You also, with five of your colleagues, had a little four-round draft of who you should get. You got the right. You got the first pick, so taking Rory. Then in the middle, you kind of answer the next question. Somebody off the radar, the old guy. So you got Furyk and Henrik Stenson. Who else? Yep. Who's off that radar that could surprise somebody that's 50-1 or more?
Well, 50-1 or more. Let's see. Well, a guy I like that I was looking at today, a guy who's 100-1, is Danny Willett, British guy who we saw finish, I think, third place at the World Match Play. He's been playing really well this year, and probably not 50-1, but my fourth pick in that draft, a guy who's a little under the radar, I think, is Sergio Garcia. You know, he's finished in the top 10 in 8 of his last 14 British Opens, and if this is going to play more like a British Open with the slower greens and emphasizing his, you know, really good short game, creative short game, I think he could be a factor over the weekend.
Well, it looks like the weather's going to cooperate. It looks like it's going to be a fun golf course. The greens, fans that haven't been paying attention, everybody there says that they are fair and are going to roll well. They're just going to look ugly on TV.
That's right. Yeah, and they have to mark where they begin and where the fairways end on some of the holes. So, again, this is going to be a totally unique experience for both the players and the fans watching. I'm certainly looking forward to it, though.
Alex, great catching up with you again on the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks for giving us some time. It should be fun. Enjoy the weekend, and happy Father's Day.
Thanks. Good luck. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Alex.
Alex Myers joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio.
This U.S. Open is going to look a lot different. You mentioned Fox doing it. They're going to be using drones. They use 3D technology. They're going to do all sorts of different things. They're not tied to how they've done it in the past. They're starting all from scratch. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have a course that does not look like a U.S. Open course.
And I think the one thing, and I mentioned it earlier in the week, that's fun about this is here, two things. If you're a golfer in Nebraska of a decent caliber, and even if you're not, you've probably now had a chance to play either the Sand Hills, the Prairie Club, even Wild Horse at Gothenburg, Cambridge a little bit on a smaller at Cross Creek, McCook a little bit.
Heritage,
there,
yeah.
The what you're seeing on TV, you can see in a little form in central and western Nebraska, so you can relate to some of the sand and the blowouts and the greens. Oh, that's where the green starts. But it's also night golf. They're going to be playing at 7 o'clock Washington time, which is 9 o'clock here Thursday and Friday night. So even if you don't, even if you work till 5, you can still probably catch 4 hours of golf. And it starts way early in the morning, too. Phil and the gang go off tomorrow at 7:30 Central Western time. So that's 9:30 or Pacific time, so 9:30 here.
Yeah. And again, I think that's thinking out of the box a little bit in terms of trying to expand the coverage. If Fox is going to write that check for the U.S. Open, they want to get as much coverage on in prime time and get those revenues from the advertisers as possible. And I kind of like it. I mean, most of the time, by the time you get off work on Thursday and Friday, the first couple of rounds, if you're an avid golf fan, you already kind of know what you're going to be seeing, and it's just going to be the highlights. Here, it's going on live, and you'll be able to see it in primetime.
Let's take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back from the Miami Herald, George Richards, talk a little College World Series and a little Hurricane football when we come back.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
At Copycat Printing, we do more than copy and print. We help our customers communicate. Today, the need for effective design is stronger than ever.
With the experience from our design team, let us help you refresh your look. Whether it's a new design or enhancing your current vision, we provide personalized designs for any project in mind.
Design isn't just a job, it's our passion.
Contact the design team at Copycat Printing, 2100 Avenue A, visit CarneyCopycat.com, or like them on Facebook. Copycat Printing, the better idea.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you wanted. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
The Village Green at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village offers seniors a comfortable lifestyle in a caring community. The Village Green is designed to accommodate those who require a little extra. Apartments feature full kitchen, spacious living room, accessible bathroom, and an emergency call system. Services include a noon meal, housekeeping, and transportation. The Village Green can help you maintain your independence with services to keep you safe and healthy. Contact Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Kick back and relax at the Flatwater Music Festival, June 26th and 27th at Prairie Loft in Hastings. Enjoy a craft beer and listen to live music by award-winning bands from across Nebraska and Colorado. We'll have music on two stages, plus music workshops, kids' activities, games, food trucks, art vendors, and more. Daily admission is only $10, and kids under 12 get in free. Find details at prairieloft.org. See you June 26th and 27th at the Flatwater Music Festival in Hastings.
Hey Nebraska, it's Jeff from Big O Tires, here to help you save big on your next set of tires. Through July 3rd, when you buy three tires, you get the fourth free. Save 25% on high-quality passenger, performance, SUV, and light truck tires from Cooper, Nitto, and more. That's up to $200 on a set. So come by one of our three Tri-City area stores and save a real 25% on your next set of tires when you buy three and get the fourth free, only at Big O Tires, the team you trust.
The Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio, getting ready for more college baseball tonight as the Miami Hurricanes and Florida Gators get after it. And you knew when we blew Florida up a couple of days ago that, you know, this is when Virginia slides in. They did exactly that last night. Just I don't even know how I felt watching that Vanderbilt-TCU game. I think I was rooting for TCU for whatever reason. The kid's throwing a no-hitter,
yep.
And then the first hit of the game's a home run. That's just crazy stuff. Well, let's move along here and talk about the lone game tonight at 7 o'clock on ESPN Radio between Miami and Florida, which is a rematch of a game that Miami fans want to forget about on Saturday. From the Miami Herald, and the beat writer for your Florida Panthers, Randy.
Oh, I might ask a Dolphins question is what I might do.
Oh, my goodness. George Richards joins us here. George, good morning. How's Omaha treating you?
Always in Omaha. This is a great town and a great event. And, you know, it's been a while since I've been up here, so it's been fun for sure.
Well, we're going to jump into baseball here with you in a minute, but we got a couple of other questions. NBA basketball wrapped up last night. I'm curious to the vibe in Miami, where I know they have a lot of other things to care about. But right now, were they rooting for or against LeBron?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I think you look at South Florida, and traditionally they don't seem to care about a whole lot. TV ratings are low for everything. You know, every national event, like, we're last. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But these ratings for the NBA were extremely high, and I think it was because of the LeBron effect. And I think it's probably 50-50. I think a lot of people were rooting against LeBron. Especially, even though, you know, he brought two championships to Miami and they were in the finals four straight years, I think a lot of people were upset with the way he left. I mean, a lot of people felt that he strung Pat Riley along, and the way he did his latest decision was done so to kind of weaken the Miami Heat, so, you know, the Cavaliers would have one less team to worry about. And, you know, so I would think a lot of people in South Florida were definitely rooting against LeBron. I think a lot of people were also, you know, thankful for the 4 years he was there. You know, that's kind of my take on it. I mean, those were an incredible 4 years watching that every night. You know, and, you know, he just didn't have the cast in Cleveland this year. I mean, you look at the injuries that they had with Irving and Love being out. Maybe with those two guys in the lineup, maybe Cleveland ends their championship drought. But I think Cleveland's going to end up getting one of these days.
George, I am going to ask you a question about the Dolphins, but I am going to put a little Husker tint to it here a little bit. A guy with a long first name and a short last name getting signed there. Obviously, the defensive line probably going to be one of the strengths for the Dolphins this year. Talk a little bit about how he fits in to the overall scheme of what the Dolphins are going to be able to do this year and how he's been accepted and what people think about that signing in South Florida.
Yeah, I mean, he was the prize. I mean, you know, leaving Detroit, I think a lot of people were a little surprised that he left the Lions. I mean, I think, you know, Detroit made a good offer for him, but Miami made a great offer. You look at that defensive line with Cameron Wake. I mean, the guy's an all-pro guy, a pro bowler every year. You add Sue to that mix. Miami was a little soft stopping the run last year. So you bring in a guy like Sue, he's going to just light that up, open things up for Cameron Wake. So, if, you know, Cameron Wake, I think it's, you know, 12, 14, 15 sacks a year. You know, you got to think he's going to get 20 this year, you know, with a little bit of help on that line. And then, you know, they've just signed, you know, a couple other guys. I mean, the defensive line for the Dolphins, the whole defense for the Dolphins looks like it's going to be pretty good next year. I think there's a lot of excitement in South Florida about the Dolphins' chances this year. I mean, you've got Ryan Tannehill's improving. You know, Lamar Miller, running back, this will be his third year. You know, some questions on the offensive line, but, you know, they look like they may challenge. I mean, you still got the Patriots to deal with. Buffalo is improving. You know, the AFC East, you know, little weak other than, you know, the Patriots, but I think it's getting better. But I think the Dolphins have to be in that conversation, especially with, you know, if the suspension holds up for Brady, those first four games are going to be a little tough for New England. But, you know, they're the defending champions, and I think people counted them out last year after about week one or two, and you see what they did. You know, New England is still the king of the AFC East, but I think the Dolphins are trying to make a run at it.
We're talking with George Richards of the Miami Herald here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Yeah, that Dolphins are going to be right there. It's amazing to me, George, that in Nebraska, in our area of the state, how many Dolphin fans I actually know. Now, conversely, I don't know anybody that's a Miami Hurricane fan for obvious reasons when it comes to football. Yeah. And there was so much anticipation for the Hurricanes coming up last year. Yesterday here on our station, Phil Steele was on one of our programs and called Miami I don't remember the exact term that he used, but one of his up-and-coming teams, one of the teams he thinks is going to take a big leap. Is that the feel down there?
No, not really. No. You know, especially after the way last year went for the Hurricanes, I think last year was an extremely disappointing season. You look at the talent that Miami had. Look at how the NFL draft went. A couple guys go in the first round. You know, a bunch of guys in the top four or five rounds. I think eight or nine guys got drafted off that team that ended with a three or four straight losses. You know, they played such a great first half against Florida State. Played it safe in the second half, and then watch FSU rally again and beat them. And Miami doesn't win a game; it wins one game after that. I think they beat Pittsburgh, and that wasn't even a very pretty game. They just fell off the map, and you lose all that talent. You know, Brad Kaya is coming back, the quarterback, sophomore. This kid looks like the real deal. I mean, you know, you saw what he did against Nebraska. He made some mistakes up here in Lincoln, but that was only his third or fourth ever, you know, start after high school, maybe his third start, you know, but he still showed some really good things in a tough situation, through some interceptions. But, you know, I think they're real happy with his development, and this kid's going to be real good. So you've got that. I mean, there is talent down in Miami. A lot of it's unproven, but they've got a lot of holes to fill. There's a lot of negativity surrounding the program with the way they finished last year. A lot of people aren't happy that Coach Al Golden kept his defensive coordinator after the rough year they had last year. So it'll be interesting to see what Miami can do. You know, obviously they've got the big Nebraska game early again this year that's at home. But you know, we'll see what happens. I think that's kind of what people are looking at. I mean, you know, it's just one of those situations where I don't think a whole lot of people have a lot of are getting too excited about it right now.
George, obviously the reason you're kind of in the neighborhood is for the College World Series rematch today against Florida. Florida, 15 runs. I think they scored 11 of them in that one inning against Miami in the opening round. But now Miami has a chance to send their rivals home in an elimination game tonight. Just talk a little bit about that rivalry. And obviously it's a matter of survival tonight, but there's something a little extra special to it because it's against the Gators, isn't there?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, you know, Florida's had Miami's number lately. You look at, you know, this will be the 12th time Miami and Florida will play each other in a game where one goes home. The first 11 were in regional play. This is the first time they've ever done so in Omaha. You know, Miami owned Florida back in the day. The first seven, it was Miami sending Florida home. Florida's won the last three or four. So, you know, this is going to be real interesting to see what Miami can do. You know, they put that Saturday loss behind them pretty well. They played a decent game against Arkansas. I don't think anybody would think that that's their best game. But coming off a 15-3 shellacking, you know, Miami was pretty happy with the way they played Monday night against Arkansas. Florida's real tough. I mean, you know, this is one of the top offensive teams. But they get shut out 1-0 to Virginia on Monday night, ends their 10-game winning streak. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens tonight. You know, I think Miami's very confident in themselves. The Gators are definitely confident in themselves. I think a lot of people figure that they're the top team in this bracket. I think a lot of people have to be surprised by Virginia. I mean, this is a team that barely made the ACC tournament and then loses three straight at the ACC tournament. Now they've won six or seven in a row, haven't lost in the NCAA tournament. They're starting to get their game together. I mean, this is a team that went to the finals last year and have a lot of those kids back, so they've got experience. But, you know, for Florida and Miami, this is survival. Neither team wants to leave, and, you know, it should be fun tonight.
George Richards with us, Miami Herald on the Doug and Daddy Show. I think that is the unique the way that we all look at things is that I think the four teams, the two tonight, the two tomorrow, that are playing in the elimination games can be saying, the coaches can be saying, boys, we can still go play Monday, considering that the number one and two teams are not awaiting them if they win over the next couple of nights. George, who are they going with on the mound tonight, Garcia or Sosa?
They're going with Sosa tonight. He's been their Sunday starter, the number three. You know, he's a pretty good little pitcher, 7-4 this year. Pitched a good game against the Gators way back in February. I think he went 6 1/3, something like that. Gave up only 2 runs. That was one of those strange early season games where it was like 25 degrees in Gainesville. Yes, it does get cold in Florida sometimes, especially in the northern part of the state. So that was one of those games where neither team really had a whole lot going, but Sosa's pitched well for him. We'll see what happens.
And Jacob Hayward, just talk about his emergence, the young man that got the game winner against Arkansas.
Yeah, what a game he had, man. Jacob, sophomore outfielder, wasn't playing a whole lot at the beginning of the season. Jim Morris talked about it at the press conference the other day that, you know, he was really getting down on himself and, he was more basically a defensive replacement for a lot of games. So he'd come in the eighth, ninth inning and not get to the plate very much. He had less than 100 at bats coming into this series. But the past 2-3 weeks, he's been in the lineup. He's been the starting left fielder. Batting ninth in the lineup. I asked Jim if he was going to move him up after the other day, and he said, "No, we're not messing with the lineup." I was goofing on him, but you don't mess with success. The way the Hurricanes have been scoring runs, at least leading into this series. The guy, has only been in the lineup, the past month, really. To have the game he had in a must-win situation against Arkansas, he was talking yesterday about, seeing himself on ESPN all night, and all that. So he's flying high. He's enjoying Omaha, that's for sure.
George, we'll wrap it up with this. When you get away from your top two guys on your rotation, and you see how good both of these teams are offensively, and Miami can hit, they can steal bases, they've got a little power. Would 18 runs, not 15-3, but would an 8-7 game surprise you tonight?
Not at all. But if I said that about Arkansas, I thought the Arkansas game was going to be wild, and we had one combined hit through the first 4 or 5 innings. I wouldn't be surprised to see a mash fest tonight. I think both teams are going to be swinging the bats. I think we're going to see both teams probably go deep into their bullpen. Anything goes tonight. Both teams need to survive. So, every pitcher that's available to them is going to go. It could be a wild game.
George Richards, Miami Herald. Continue to enjoy the College World Series. It was great to talk a variety of sports. And
go Dolphins. Go Dolphins.
Hope you can stick around a few more days, George. Thanks for the time.
Me too. Thanks a bunch, guys.
You bet.
Thanks,
George Richards joining Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And maybe you can go join Randy for something.
I'd hang out.
I'll send you to the chicken coop for lunch. You can have a salad. It's June Madness. Every salad on the menu, $5.55. Went in, had a little chicken wings last night, quesadilla, and salads are flying off the menu. Whether you want the taco salad, the chicken salad, there's a variety to choose from. You can put your favorite wing sauce if you do the chicken thing. Sweet mango habanero, a little hot, mix it all up. It's there for you. Lunch, dinner, somewhere in between throughout the month of June. Any salad on the menu, just $5.55 at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. Stop by and see them. Watch your favorite sporting events, Major League Baseball, of course, College World Series. Now that the NBA and NHL is over, plenty to talk about. It's cool. It's comfortable. Play a little Keno. Enjoy your favorite beverages at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill. Appetizer specials every afternoon as well from 2 to 5:30. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Nebraska baseball. Curtis Ledbetter, assistant coach, after this.
It's the June Evergreen Sale at Steinbrink Landscaping and Greenhouses. Choose from the best and largest selection in central Nebraska and save 25% through June. Loose spruce, Austrian and Southwest pine, white fir, weeping and columnar varieties, even upright junipers, including the hard-to-find Taylor junipers, all here. Perfect for tree rows, screening, and specimens, and save 25% off the regular price during the June Evergreen Sale. Locally owned, locally grown at Steinbrink Landscaping and Greenhouses, south of Highway 30 on 30th Avenue in Kearney.
Calling all Kearney area golfers. Would you like to win big golf prizes like a round of golf and big discounts to your favorite stores? Then stop by Hilltop Mall's big golf event Thursday, June 18th and take a swing at Hilltop Mall's 9-hole mini course. There is a chance to win at every hole, including rounds of golf, gift cards, and equipment from Elks Country Golf, Kearney Country Club, and Golf USA. Tune up your putting and win big this Thursday, 5 to 9 at Hilltop Mall.
Car insurance isn't about the car. It's about the precious cargo the car carries. It's about providing security and confidence that if an accident occurs, you'll be protected. I'm Dave Challey of Barney Insurance. As a local independent agent, we can design an insurance program that's just right for you and your family, providing safe, sound, secure insurance protection from Auto Owners Insurance. Stop by or give us a call.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
Farming is a way of life here, and today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. CHS has been a partner to those farmers, the community, the area charities, including the Harvest for Hunger, right here. So when we say there's a CHS Agri-Service Center near you and ready to help you build your future, we mean it. CHS Agri-Service Center. People and resources you can count on always. And always here at chsagri.com.
Don't miss an exciting two-game series between the Royals and the Brewers this week at Kauffman Stadium. Come Wednesday for Student Night, presented by Inc. Magazine. Present a valid student ID, and you can get tickets for only $8. Arrive early, and you'll hear local band Hembree play before the 7:10 opening pitch. Thursday night, start your weekend early with another 7:10 matchup under the lights of the K. Get your tickets today at Royals.com or Hy-Vee.
Together, let's make this summer forever Royal.
Doug and Annie Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac and Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. South 2nd Avenue Kearney with their brand new Midway Auto Outlet in the old Killian Motors building. They're all along. Probably changed the name of the road here to Midway Way. Midway Way? Midway Street? What would you call Midway Place?
Lane? How about Midway Lane?
That's a big road, though. It's not a lane.
Okay.
It's not.
And usually lanes are not a through street, and it is a through street. So.
In June at Midway, Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, you get 0% APR for 5 years with approved credit on automobiles like the 2015 GMC Sierra 1500 SLT model. Plus, receive a $2,000 cash allowance. There's some great financing as well on the GMC Acadia, where you get $2,250. 50 purchased cash bonus with qualified credit. Midway also has a great deal on Cadillacs and graduates. Cadillac has a college grad program for you that'll save you even more money. If you're a recent graduate within the last 2 years or getting set to graduate in the next 6 months, find out all about that as well. From your Midway Auto dealerships, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, pleased to be joined by Nebraska assistant baseball coach Curtis Ledbetter. Curtis, good morning. How are you?
Oh, great. How are you guys doing today?
Well, it's great to have you back on the program. Coaching, playing, College World Series, all kinds. You're going with camps. You're seeing young kids. So you kind of get to see the future of baseball. Just emotions about watching the College World Series and then kind of getting to work with the young kids at this time.
Oh, yeah. It's a fantastic opportunity for myself and the Nebraska Baseball Academy staff to get out and hang out with, you know, kind of kids all over the state during the summertime for a day and kind of bring the game of baseball out to some kids who may not get the opportunity to come here to Lincoln. So we're super excited about next Tuesday and getting out to Kearney and enjoying the day.
Curtis, obviously the holy mecca of college baseball is in Omaha there. You're recruiting to Lincoln in the neighborhood, obviously play some games at the field there at the ballpark.
TD Ameritrade.
I had half that in my head, and I couldn't get the other half. Does that help? Does the energy that the College World Series brings, does that spill over a little bit and help the Husker baseball program as well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, us being just down the road from that ballpark is pretty cool. Getting a chance to play Creighton up there a couple times a year, you know, it's definitely somewhat of a draw, and having the opportunity to play on that diamond, man, it's a pretty cool experience for our guys. You know, and typically we have good crowds up there. So, but, you know, during this time of year, there's a ton of youth teams, you know, in the area and coming through and wanting to check out our facility and things like that just because of the tournaments and camps that are going on during this time of the year with the CWS in Omaha. And so we get the chance to talk to a lot of young golfers. And we're talking, you know, super youth, you know, 10-year-olds all the way up through high school kids that are coming through Lincoln and checking this place out. And a lot of them probably for the first time, you know. teams that are from all over the country coming into this area during this time of year to play baseball.
Curtis Ledbetter, Nebraska assistant coach, has the distinction of being on the team that won the first ever game for the Huskers at the College World Series. Can you believe that was 10 years ago, Curtis?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing looking back on it. It almost feels like it's been longer than that at this point. But, you know, it was a very special group of guys that we had on that club. And obviously it made a nice run and didn't quite end the way that we wanted it to. But, my gosh, what an experience for that team and coaching staff to be able to play in Omaha.
Curtis, this year, the first half of the season, I mean, you got people thinking, wow, you know, we might be able to do it again. Obviously, the second half of the season didn't turn out the way the Huskers wanted it to. Which one do you think is more indicative of where the program is right now, the first half of the season or the second?
You know, our pitching staff and defenders just did a fantastic job early on in the season. We were scoring enough runs to win. And, you know, late in the season, we just didn't get those key hits, and that was the biggest thing for us. We lost a lot of 1-2-run ball games and just couldn't get over that hump. You know, I think this coaching staff has done a fantastic job of getting arms into our program to, you know, have a chance to compete at this highest level. And you know, you're right. We did feel good about things in that first half and didn't see, you know, quite where the drop-off, you know, was going to occur. We didn't see that coming. But our guys did a nice job battling all the way through the end and just didn't win, you know, enough games to get into that regional mix. You know, our RPI was still good and things like that, but just didn't win enough games in conference. We played a lot of great teams on the road in conference and didn't win a lot of those games. And you know what, I think this program's in a good place right now. Coach Ristutt's done a fantastic job of taking over and really picking up you know, the pieces and putting them back together. Coach Silva's you know, he's just a grinder on the road and does a great job out on the road recruiting, and he's kind of a one-man show when it comes to that stuff, setting up all the recruiting trips and things like that. He knows exactly where our coaches need to be to watch kids, and you know, they work very well together.
Talking with Curtis Ledbetter, they're going to be bringing the Nebraska Baseball Academy Tuesday the 23rd to Kearney, and we're going to talk about that for a moment. A couple more questions about the team, though, Curtis. When the coaches got together, what was the immediate need? What's the thing you guys address, whether it's recruiting or the way you do things? What did you guys see after the season as this is the number one thing we need to address?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I think we have a fairly veteran club, you know, that had been through a lot here this past year. And we're going to go into it with some new faces next year. And so just trying to get them up to speed at the Division I level is going to be a challenge in itself. You know, this is just a completely different level of baseball than any high school or junior college kid, you know, has seen before. And so that's always a challenge in the fall, is trying to, you know, almost speed the game up on them a little bit. So when it comes springtime, you know, the game doesn't seem to be going so fast for them. So that's always a challenge for a Division I coach, no matter what level or, you know, where you're at, which conference you're in, things like that. It's you know, the speed of the game is very important for those guys to be able to handle. And you know, I think that's probably the biggest challenge that we have ahead of us is getting a lot of new guys up to speed with the speed of the Division I game.
We're always fortunate to have Coach Ristutt join us two or three times a year here on the Doug and Daddy Show and some of the players. And, of course, we have to ask about our local kid and Taylor Fish, Tanner Lubach, getting drafted, moves on. Yep. Obviously, yep. You guys are hitting the recruiting trail. Just Where do you see him mixing in next year?
You know, Taylor's just done a fantastic job of filling the role that he's been asked to fill, you know, over the past 3 years here in Lincoln. He's going to have a chance to compete for that starting job. There's no doubt about that. That's the way that Coach Ristutt goes about his business, is every job is open. And, you know, come the fall, winter time, and he's going to play the best dudes. And so Taylor's going to, again, have the chance to compete for that starting role. And every time we put Taylor in there, he's just done a great job for us. You know, I think he hit like 400 or near 400 this year, the opportunities that he had. And you know, I think we feel comfortable putting him behind the plate, no doubt about it. And he's done a great job for us. So, yeah, he'll have a chance to compete, I think, and we'll see where it takes us.
Well, Curtis, you're getting us updated on a Kearney guy in Lincoln. Yeah. Well, you Lincoln guys are coming here to Kearney for a youth camp Tuesday at Harvey Park. Give us some of the details and kind of how this kind of came to be.
Sure, yeah. You know, we haven't been to Kearney for a long time. Let's kind of let Damon do this thing. And this year I called Coach Tay up and said, hey, do you care if we come out to Kearney this year? And he was all for it, man. And I think that some of his staff members may be helping us out on that day. So it's going to be a you know, a fantastic opportunity for us to work together a little bit and put our heads together. But typically our days during the summer day camps begin at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll do a lot of defensive stuff and pitching stuff in the morning hours. We'll break for lunch, and then we'll hit all afternoon. At the end, we'll, you know, depending on numbers, we'll break up and play some wiffle ball and have some fun with it. But they're just super enjoyable days, you know, being out there with the kids and again, just trying to teach them a couple things, you know, whether that be different drills to use, different techniques, things like that. Each kid will be able to choose which defensive position they want to work out at, whether that be catching infield work or outfield work. It works out very well because we're able to divide our coaches up and really concentrate on what they're good at and just be able to teach the game and take as much information out there as we possibly can and leave it all there, you know, and we really want to, you know, use that as our classroom and try and teach these little dudes, you know, a few more things about the game and like I said, it's a great day. We have a blast doing it, and the kids are able to learn a couple new things, and we're able to, you know, come out of the day feeling good about what we've taught and all the stuff that the little dudes have picked up on.
Curtis, what's the age range here?
Oh, really? We see between first graders and, you know, typically you're looking at sophomores, juniors, and high school. Rarely do we have any seniors that come out, but anybody can sign up. If you want to learn the game of baseball, we're going to be there and we're going to teach as much as we possibly can. For the older guys that come, the high school kids that sign up and come, obviously we can kind of gauge where they're at and teach to their level, man. It's not that they're going to be sitting there learning the absolute beginner stuff of the game. You know, they're able to ask as many questions as they can, and they're going to go through a lot of the drills that our dudes do here, you know, in Lincoln on a daily basis. So, you know, in the afternoon we'll divide it up between age and so they won't be hitting with first graders. But, you know, it's really a great day no matter which, you know, level you're playing at as a youth baseball player. We're able to, I guess, I don't know what the right word is, but dumb things down for the beginners, you know, and not try and teach at the highest of levels. To really try and help them through a few things and learn the basics of the game, whether that be technique-wise or philosophy-wise. And then we can ramp it up a little bit for the older kids, you know, that are a little more advanced in the game. We're able to teach at all levels, and I'm very fortunate to have the staff that I do that's able to do that.
Curtis, you mentioned sign-up. How do they sign up? Where do they get the information?
Yeah, bigredacademy.com is a fantastic way to sign up. I think the registration closes on the 21st, so get in there and sign up. All of our contact information is on there, on that website, bigredacademy.com. Anything they could ever want to read about, you know, pertaining to our camps with the Nebraska Baseball Academy is right there on the web.
BigRedAcademy.com. It's coming to Kearney next Tuesday from 9 a.m. till they wrap things up in the middle of the afternoon, depending on size, as Curtis said. And you do need to get registered by Sunday, so they have obviously know what to put together for numbers and the things that they take care of there. And Curtis, great to have you on the Doug and Daddy Show. Anything else that we need to know?
No, I'm good. I really appreciate you having me on, and you guys have a great week.
Hey, it was great chat. To keep up the good work. Thanks, Curtis.
Okay, we'll see you guys.
Curtis Ledbetter, Nebraska assistant baseball coach, former Husker, part of that 05 team that won the College World Series.
A lot
first
of great
game.
Memories from that.
Yep. So, and that's not the only camp, but that is coming up. The Lopers are also going to put on their pitching camp next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. This will be up at Memorial Field. You can find out a lot more at lopers.com. The camp is for players that want to improve their pitching fundamentals, each session focusing on the core fundamentals. In session one, they'll teach the principles. They'll go to session two on key drills and a variety of other things that are going on next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the 22nd through the 24th. Go to lopers.com to get signed up for that. So two different camps, the pitching camp for UNK and then the Big Red Baseball Academy Tuesday. We will take our final break, and as we go to break, let's give you a chance to win tickets to the Anavar Tractor Pull this Friday or Saturday. Oh, we don't have to? We don't have to? We're all done?
We're all through the break.
This is over? This show's over? I can still give away these tickets, right?
Yes, you can absolutely still give those away.
Cool.
Well, it's nice to have his permission for that.
Let's do the 888-455-ESPN. We'll give a family four-pack away here to the first couple of callers. I want to make sure that you're able to go. Caleb's going to take care of you. A family four-pack Friday night at 7 or Saturday at 5. If you'd like to go to the Anavar Tractor Pull this weekend in Ravenna, we'll get a family four-pack going your way. Call now, 888-455-3776.
And you don't have to take the family. You can take the boys if you'd like. I'm just saying. I mean, it's a good family event. Don't get me wrong, but you can take the boys. That'd be fun, too. And I realize I'm setting myself up here for ridicule, but you know why I couldn't come up with TD Ameritrade in my head? I had the word Ameristar in my head, and I couldn't
Ameristar?
Get it out. Well, yeah. And I was like, that ain't right, and I can't come up with it. It was blocking it, so there you go.
Women's soccer was on last night again, watching all the activities at once, and I kept looking up there, and I guess they kept calling this the group of death, and I guess
it was a very tough group.
I guess there's a reason.
Yeah.
The U.S. never really blew anybody out, but it was important to get a way better draw in the knockout round.
Their easiest game is probably coming up once all the games are done today and they get the draw. They'll probably have the easiest game they've had so far with somebody outside of that group, because Nigeria, not a bad team at all. And in fact, the Americans had a lot of pressure up front, a lot of the match, and really only had two or three really good scoring opportunities.
Had one waved off.
They waved off a goal that they shouldn't have waved off. I thought, looking at it live, that they were offsides. But as they broke it down, turns out they weren't offsides. And they were supposed to kind of, you know, the old cliche, tie goes to the runner in baseball. Well, when it comes to offsides, the tie is supposed to go to aggressive soccer, attacking soccer. So they should have allowed the goal.
That's the thing that has always confused me about soccer and hockey. If you can put the ball in the net or the puck, it counts.
And where's the difference here is that goal would have counted if we're talking hockey, because they had the zone. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Once you get the ball in the zone, you get to kind of keep it there. And there's the difference, where offsides in soccer is based on where the defense is playing. And maybe by a foot they were offsides, but that would have been about it.
Congratulations to Robert in St. Labore and John in Pleasanton. They are heading to Ravenna for Anavar Days in the tractor pull. They can go either Friday night or Saturday. We've got a couple more that we'll give away tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Before we get out of here, Royals baseball tonight. They've beaten Milwaukee twice there. Now they try to take care of business against Milwaukee at Kauffman Stadium, 7:10 tonight on the Breeze, 94.5. And yesterday we didn't get to hear the Tim Kirkjian live, did we? Because of the College World Series?
Yeah, because of the College World Series. It actually cut out right before they went to the Tim Kirkjian segment.
And so check that out on his podcast. But did you know that Scott Van Pelt almost began his professional career right here in Kearney?
You know, you ought to say the name right, by the way. If you're going to apply for the job, maybe that's why you didn't get it. You didn't ought to say Kearney. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Who replaced you as sports director?
I was trying to think of his name. He's currently doing some fun. I'm drawing a blank on his name. He's doing some fundraising right now in Omaha, and I talked to him about 2.5-3 years ago, and I'm drawing a complete blank on his name. He was after me and before Casey Marler. And why?
Yeah, that's the one I couldn't. Yeah, I had Marler, Schick, a variety of guys.
We only worked together about 3 months before he took over.
So, but anyway.
So this is shortly after
Van
my
Pelt
tenure.
Van Pelt could have been coming to NTV about 20 years ago.
So, but there was a gap. There was a gap after the internship.
Oh, yeah, where I was like, because I realized I couldn't be, hey, you want to be on air? You've got to go to Kearney, Nebraska and do local sports. With great respect and admiration for Kearney.
It's a competitive market.
Passing on that.
So but, wait a minute. So you wanted to be the guy that was going to be on air for sports but couldn't be bothered with these lower markets.
I could be bothered, but the one that to me represented that I didn't want to do it was I didn't want to go to Kearney, Nebraska.
Okay.
And then he apologized.
To every single resident of the great city of Kearney, Nebraska. Okay. Everyone in the state of Nebraska who has informed me it's not Kearney, it's Kearney. Gotcha. Okay. Thank you, Kearney.
Scott Van Pelt, whose final show, unfortunately, because of the way things are working with the College World Series, his final day is Friday, right? Or is it tomorrow?
It should be Friday.
I think it's Friday.
It's Friday, right?
I think it's Friday.
But we have baseball at 2 o'clock, so Do what you want to do.
Yeah.
See a Van Peasy.
That's life, man.
I
don't think we're getting a full formal apology on Friday.
Well,
so.
since some of the guys will criticize their own network from time to time, I'm a little worried about where our afternoon programming is going with the national scene, because I really enjoyed Van Pelt. Not that I don't enjoy Russillo a little bit, but he needs somebody to keep him in check. And if he's in charge, yikes. So I don't know that they will find somebody to keep him in check. Don't forget Legion Baseball tonight. Kearney Post 52 is at Lexington. 5 points and Little Caesars will host Broken Bow. For Hastings seniors, it's just a single game now against Scotts Bluff. 7 o'clock tonight at Duncan Field, and you can hear it on 1230 KHAS. For Grand Island, Home Federal will host Columbus. 5 points at Columbus. Dinsdale is at Norfolk, and Danielle Lemick blowing up the field at the state amateur women's golf tournament. The Donovan native had a 12-shot lead, breaking every record over the 42-year history. She's trying to wrap it up today. And we will see you tomorrow from 8-man camp in Hastings. The All-Star Game is coming up Saturday on Classic Hits. Thanks to Alex Myers of Golf Digest, to George Richards from the Miami Herald, and to Curtis Ledbetter, Nebraska assistant baseball coach, for joining us. Randy?
Hasta luego. I don't even know what that means, but it's a goodbye thing of some sort.
Taco El Paso. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.